This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Barb, but it's going in and
out
for her.
Yeah. So I just turned on the recording, so the conversation is being recorded, so just keep that in mind.
We can still chit-chat, so we're just waiting for people to come on, those of you that are joining us.
Yeah,
thank you for joining
us.
It's
not a good connection, is it?
Can they hear us okay, though?
Should I hang up and try again
and
come back in?
I'm on the other line. I can hear all four of you, or all three of you, just fine.
You can
hear
us?
I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So,
Chris, look.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
Okay, so the way the call is going to go tonight is Chris Weidner is going to share first because he has another call at 5:30 Mountain Time. So I'm going to have him come up first, and then we'll go to the announcements and to the inspiration and the sponsor. Okay?
Cool.
Okay. So, cool. Yeah, so Chris, are you on yet, Chris? Make sure I'm going to text
him. I am. I had myself on mute. Sorry about that.
Okay, good. Perfect. Yay. Okay. So we'll just give people a chance to kind of come on, and then we'll have you start first.
Okay.
And I have
an
introduction for you. Yeah, you're welcome. So it's only 5:01. We'll give people to like 3 after, and then we'll start going. So thank you, everybody, who has joined us for our July call. Actually, this is July. The year is going by too fast. Yep.
I know it's July in Texas because it's 110.
As 100 where?
110 in Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Sandy.
Wow.
Hi.
Plus that humidity.
There's
that's
a
no
muck.
Okay, I came back. This is Betty. I logged out and came back in, so.
You sound better.
Okay.
Or more clear. More clear.
Okay. More clear. I sound better, more clearer, huh?
Good.
Well, you are already better, but now you're.
I'm gonna go get started because we've got a lot to cover tonight, and of course, this call is being recorded. So those people that are coming in after we've started, this will be uploaded to the IHOSP website member portal, so you'll be able to access the information. And like our other past calls have been, this will be accessible by anybody. So I'm excited for that because I know the information we're going to be learning and hearing tonight from everybody is valuable. This is Jenny Norris, chairwoman of IHOS. And those of you that are on the general call, you could go ahead and mute your phones. I don't have a way to control the muting. And I've never tested, Betty, if you could do that. But because I'm recording it through Ring Central, I don't have the ability to mute the backgrounds. I don't think I do. I can't. Okay. So, but I'm going to go ahead and read. So Chris Weidner is one of our keynote speakers. He is the business keynote for our conference this fall, which, of course, is September 29th, 30th, and October 1st. So we did shift the dates, which I'll talk more about coming up. And here's his bio. Chris Weidner is widely recognized as one of the top speakers in the world today. He has spoken all over the world in places like Germany, Spain, Russia, China, Egypt, Singapore, Australia, and, of course, all over the United States and Canada. His clients are a who's who of American businesses and organizations, including GE, Cisco Systems, Microsoft, and the Harvard Business School. He's got a practical and engaging speeches that will have audiences laughing 1 minute and learning timeless truths of success the next. And his background, this is me paraphrasing, but his background is very varied. He was hand-selected by two of the legends of the speaking world to work with them and now carries on their legacy. So Jim Rohn, which a lot of us know that name, one of the most successful speakers of the last 50 years and also known for being Tony Robbins' first mentor. And we all have heard Tony Robbins, made Chris his last protege. So Tony Robbins made Chris his protege. So Chris and Jim co-authored the Jim Rohn 1-Year Success Plan, as well as Jim's last book, The 12 Pillars, which has become an international bestseller. Zig Ziglar, we all know that name, considered to be one of the greatest motivational speakers of the 20th century, personally chose Chris to co-host his television show, True Performance. Chris's two books, Angel Inside and The Art of Influence, are the only two fiction books from Zig Ziglar, two fiction books Zig Ziglar endorsed in his entire life. And along with co-hosting True Performance, Chris also hosted his own show, Made for Success, where he interviewed some of the top business achievers and thought leaders of our time. And he is just about to release his 21st book, And his topic at our conference is going to be on the art of influence, and it's related to being a leader in mindset. And so, Chris, it is always a pleasure to speak with you, and I thank you so much for agreeing to be on our call with our IHOS members. And I'm really looking forward to having you at our conference, our virtual conference at the end of September, and then hopefully, 2021, God willing, we'll have a live a live conference and be able to see him in person. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Chris, and have you share whatever you would like to share about your background and so forth, and then mindset and about your book, The Art of Influence.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. And I'm we've been working together for, I don't know what now, probably 7 or 8 months. And then we were going to have a conference this summer. And now we're making some changes, but we're still able to do good stuff. And I'm excited to be working with you and all the great people there at IHASP. And so I'm just going to take maybe 15, 20 minutes tonight and share a little bit about myself and a little bit about the book, Art of Influence. And then I have some thoughts just sort of as we're going through the lockdown and all the ups and downs about how to thrive even when we live in challenging times. I want to focus on one that it's also in the book of Art of Influence that we're going to talk about during the conference, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the new book that I have coming out called Lasting Impact. But we'll get some good information, some practical information as well. So you were right, I did. I got to work with Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar, which was really amazing. Jim Rohn made me his last protege. I spent the last 7 years of his life, working with him. And then I had a TV show with Zig, as you mentioned. And I always say that when I first went in to meet with Zig was the first day on set on our television show. And I always tell people I felt like a priest who'd been called to the Vatican to serve communion with the Pope, because I was all of about 38 years old and, I had some pretty good success in the speaking business, but nothing at that level. And then all of a sudden, you get this offer to co-host a television show with a guy who is basically, the 20th century's greatest motivational speaker and probably the pioneer of the entire industry. And so it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot from both those guys. People ask me all the time, what was it like to work with Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar? And I think the most interesting thing about working with both of them, or the greatest lesson that I learned, was to be myself. And you might think, well, that's a really weird thing to say, be yourself, when you had so many other great lessons that they taught you. And, I mean, they're so quotable. I could give you quote after quote, all filled with a lot of wisdom. But what I took away most, and I would suggest this is a great lesson for all of us, is to be myself. And here's why I got that lesson. Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn were two of the maybe five greatest speakers or most well-known or most successful speakers, and yet they could not have been any more different from each other. And yet they both achieved the greatest success in their industry. And, when I think of Zig Ziglar, he was dynamic. He was gregarious. He could have been a politician. When he walked into a room, he always used to talk about when you walk into a room, you can brighten a room when you walk in, or you can brighten a room when you walk out. Zig was always the guy that brightened the room when he walked in.
That's funny.
And, he'd shake your hand, he'd slap you on the back, how are you doing? Just very gregarious. And he was exactly the same way on stage. He would talk fast, and then he'd talk slow, and he'd talk loud, and then he'd whisper. And he'd prance around the stage, and then he'd walk to the front of the stage and get down on one knee. That was Zig Ziglar on stage and off the stage. But then you had Jim Rohn. And the term that I always used to describe Jim was he was professorial. He was like a professor, he didn't like crowds like Jim did, like Zig did. Jim would come down 5 or 10 minutes before the speech from his hotel room, and he'd stay around very little afterwards, and he'd go back up after he was done. And he was quiet, and he barely moved from behind the lectern. And I always say that Jim's big power move was taking off his reading glasses. I mean, that was the big power move for Jim. So they were very, very different, but they were both wildly successful. And so it taught me, I don't want to be like Zig, and I don't want to be like Jim. I want to be the best me. And I think that's great for all of us in whatever industry. There may be people that do it differently than you who are very successful. Doesn't mean you have to do it that way. You do it your way. And I've just always found that to be the greatest lesson. I get interviewed on podcasts maybe 3 to 7 a week, and that's the number one question I get. What did you learn working with Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar? And that's what I learned. Be yourself and be the best version of yourself that you possibly can. Because if you're not yourself, then you're just going to be really kind of a fake from somebody else. You know, this was the lesson that I taught in my book, The Angel Inside. The Angel Inside is around the life of Michelangelo, and it basically gives life lessons, business lessons, things like that from the life of Michelangelo. And Michelangelo lived Florence, Italy, late 1400s, early 1500s to the mid-1500s, and that was really the birth of citizen legislatures, was at Florence, which is where Machiavelli became famous. And back then, it was prior to during the Renaissance, but everybody was into politics, and Michelangelo's dad wanted him to be a politician. The politicians were the most revered people, and artists, not so much. We look back now and we think of all those great artists coming out of the Renaissance, but they weren't viewed that way then. Particularly in the lead up to it, they were considered, no money in it and no prestige and all those kinds of things. Well, Michelangelo left, went and lived with another family that was a patron of the arts at a young age, 14, if I remember correctly. And you think about it, what if he would have done what his dad wanted him to? What if he would have gone into politics? Well, we would have probably never, ever heard Michelangelo Buonarroti's name. But instead, we got arguably the greatest sculptor of all time because he did what he was made for. And he did it in the style and the ways that he wanted to do it. And so that's really one of my big messages to folks is embrace who you are, embrace your giftedness, your talents, your dreams, engage your desires and what you want out of life, because as they say, it's not just a pithy little saying, it's actually true. You only live once. And so doing what you need to do in the way you want to do it is a great lesson for all of us. So let me talk a little bit about Art of Influence, because that's what we're going to talk about in the conference, but I don't want to spill all the beans. So the Art of Influence was born out of a friend of mine who actually was the president of Jim Rohn International, and he said, Chris, I really think you ought to talk about influence. And I said, why? Because I was doing leadership stuff, and I was pretty successful traveling around doing leadership. And he said, I don't know anybody who can pull out their phone who can call rock stars, billionaires, politicians, senators, you know, all these athletes, all these kinds of folks. And you know, coming from where you came from, and being able to achieve that is pretty incredible. I'd never thought about it. I really had never thought about it. I was just living my life and trying to do business and those kinds of things. But I started thinking about it. How did a kid whose dad died when he was 4 years old and ended up living in 28 homes and going to 11 different schools, who was shipped off to live with relatives twice, once in the fourth grade and once in the ninth grade, who started drugs in the fifth or sixth grade and made most of his money betting the horses at Long Acres Horse Track south of Seattle, how did he end up with so much influence? And I had just never analyzed it. So for 6 months, as I wrote that book and I created an audio program, I looked at not just myself, but people who have influence, and really what the definition of influence really is. And we'll use a working definition tonight, and as well as when we are in the conference together, that influence is the ability to change another person's thoughts, beliefs, and actions. The ability to create, to change another person's thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Now, if you think about that, how great would that be? Those of you who are married, how many of you would love to be able to just say something to your spouse and they say, that's a great idea, honey. You've changed their thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Those of you who have teenagers, I have 4 children of my own, and then Denise and I have two stepdaughters. So I have 1 son, 5 daughters, and 4 grandchildren. And so wouldn't it be great if you could tell your teenagers, hey, I think you should go clean your room, and they say, that's a fantastic idea, Father. I think I'll go do that. That would be great, wouldn't it, if we had more influence? Well, the beauty is that influence is something that you can learn and something that you can grow, and that's what I'm going to talk to us about in the the seminar that we do together. But I'll give you the four main points, because I know they're on the bullet points and the promotional materials and things as well. But in order to build influence, I believe that we need to target having four things from the people that we serve through our business, and that is trust, respect, admiration, and loyalty. What would it be like if you had just tremendous trust, respect, admiration, and loyalty in the marketplace? That would be fantastic, right? So how do you get trust, respect, admiration, and loyalty? Well, you get trust from integrity. And we're going to talk about integrity and really what integrity is. And one of the fun things that I like to do when we talk about it, and we will in the conference, is why is it that some people think they have integrity, but other people don't think they have integrity? So somebody says, well, of course I have integrity. And you ask around and they go, no, not really. There's a secret about that. And we're going to talk about that, why you might think that you have the utmost integrity, but other people might not view you that way. But when we have integrity, we build trust. And the biggest thing between a seller and a buyer that determines not only will that sale go through, but will future sales go through, is whether or not you have their trust. Now, respect. Respect comes from excellence. How do you live a life of excellence? Not only your personal life, but your business life as well. When we live out excellence, that gives people the ability to respect us. And when people respect us, they pursue us and they ask us to influence them. The third one, admiration. Admiration comes from optimism. And we're going to talk about what it means to have a positive attitude in business. We'll also talk about it in our personal lives as well, but how do we demonstrate optimism and positive attitude in the midst of our marketplace business? And when we do that, people admire us. And just think about it, right? Don't we just admire people who go through a really hard time and yet they seem to just be above it? And we just, you know, you'll find somebody, maybe they're sick, maybe someone has breast cancer and they're going through all the challenges, but they're just upbeat. And you come home and you're talking to your spouse and you say, I saw Cheryl today, and with everything she's going through, I just admire her so much. She has such a great personality and a great sense of optimism. We admire people like that. I had a friend of mine, Dave Parker, and his wife, Catherine, and about 25 years ago, Catherine got cancer, and she was deathly ill. She made it, thankfully, and is still around, and their kids are grown now, but I'll never forget as long as I live. She said, you know the best thing about cancer? And I said, what? And she said, losing all my hair. And I said, well, why is that a great thing about cancer? She said, I get to try every wig I want. I can be a brunette one day. I can be a blonde the next day. I can be a redhead the next day. And I just remember, I can't remember anything else Kathy Parker ever told me. But I remember that optimistic, just positive, finding something good in them. And it's probably, I believe, I know a lot of people who go through tough situations of cancer and things like that. I believe that positive attitude really helps. The last one is loyalty. How do you create loyalty? You create loyalty through service, serving other people, making sure that they know that you're going to put them first. Because when you put other people first, they become loyal. And it's not hard to have loyalty when everything's going well, is it? When business is booming, everybody's loyal. When there becomes hardship, now all of a sudden people are like, well, I really want to stick it out with this person. Do I really want to keep working for this person? Do I really want to keep hiring this person? But when we treat other people in the good times with service and considering their interests more important than our own, that's when we really get a great loyalty from others that serves us when times aren't so great. So I think it's just tremendously important to really take a look at our own ability to influence and see if there aren't some ways that we can create even greater influence. I want to focus in on just one of those and go a little bit deeper, but in the context of what we're going through today as a society with, you know, all the troubles and the lockdowns and less business and, you know, all these kinds of things, I want to talk about optimism and attitude in particular. And one attitude specifically. When we face challenging times, it requires us to change. Now, here's the problem. Most people don't like change. If you ask people, do you like change, and you survey 100 people, a majority of them will say, I don't like change. I like it just the way I created it. You know, and if you can create your life and it's perfect for you, that's fantastic. Keep on living it. But sometimes, like what has happened here in 2020, you know, you don't get a choice as to whether or not change is going to happen. And so, and boy, doesn't it just feel like, I read yesterday there was something like flying ants that were off the eastern seaboard, and they were so big that radar picked them up. And I'm like, what on God's green earth can come next after flying ants? Everything else we've had so far. But I just was really thinking about this, all the changes. Now, so we have to have an attitude about change, and everybody has an attitude about change. They just might not necessarily have articulated it yet. But what do most people say when they talk about change and the fact that change has happened? Well, the most common thing is, you know, change happens, and you have to just accept change. Well, I've made one of my missions in life is to get people to stop accepting change. Accepting change is the minimum that you can do. But what I try to do is I try to encourage people to go an even bigger step, which is to embrace change. What if we embraced change rather than accepted change? What if we said, well, instead of, well, it's going to happen, nothing I can do about it, you know, I guess I'll just go along.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt. Somebody back there, you're making a lot of noise and you're talking, so you need to mute your phones because Chris is sharing some really great information and I'm having a hard time hearing it. I'm taking notes and stuff. So if you are making noise in the background and talking, please mute your phones so we don't miss any of his message. So, okay, so change. We don't want people just to accept it.
Yeah, don't just accept change. And it's just a shift in your own mind. It's just a shift that says, okay, I'm going to stop saying I'm going to accept it, because that feels like it's just been foisted upon you and there's nothing you can do and it's probably going to be bad for you. And it's just so much negativity, I feel, in the term accept change. But when we make just a simple little shift and say, I'm going to embrace change, I'm going to embrace change. So I'll tell you what happened here in the beginning of this whole lockdown. I lost a lot of business because a lot of people canceled their events, right? And some of them just said, we're not even going to do virtual. I'm so happy that you guys are doing virtual. And a lot of people have, but a lot of people just said, we'll see you when we, you know, can do our next in-person meeting. And so I make most of my money on the road giving speeches. I have royalties and things like that. I've had a number of, you know, really good books and such that pay well and those kinds of things. But, you know, basically what I've been doing for the last 32 years was not going to happen anymore. So I had to say, well, I can just accept change and sit around and wait, or I can embrace change. And I decided I was going to embrace change. I had to find out something else that I could do within my world, so to speak, to create income. And on March 17th, a friend of mine and I started a monthly membership program, March 17th, and we started it with $50 in Facebook ads. And since then, we've put in, I think we're at 2,750 people into a $10 a month membership program. And that was something I had never done before, he had never done before. But what's the old saying? Something's the necessity is the mother of invention, I think is what it was. That's what we did. We're like, how else can we do something? And that's what we did. We tried it out. We started with very little. We kept rolling as people signed up. We took that money. We put it back in. And we started growing a business, which is going to become and has become in just 4 months a great long-range business that certainly will continue to do well in the future because we've proven it. But if I would have just accepted change, I don't know that I would have ever done that. But when I decided to embrace it, okay, I'm going to embrace the fact that I'm not out on the road, but I'm here, and I still have a message, and I still want to help people, what can we do? And we created something that is now helping just under 3,000 people a day. We go out to them on our Facebook page every single day, and we help people. So I want to challenge you to think about what happens when you embrace change in your business. How could you be someone who pioneers something new, some new way of doing something, some new way of marketing, those kinds of things, because that comes when you embrace change. And we're going to talk more about that when we get together during the conference. But I wanted to just kind of give you one little nugget out of there, but specifically as it relates to the situation we find ourselves in today, which is change has been foisted upon us. Now we get to choose our attitude, and our attitude, I believe, is going to determine where we go with it. And so I want to challenge us to embrace change rather than to merely accept change. And so with that, Jenny, I'm going to let you have it back over there. If there's any questions or anything I can clarify or anything like that, love to do that as well. But wanted to kind of give you guys just some motivational stuff and some encouragement, challenge us to think differently and to be better.
I was furiously taking notes. Hopefully you all were too. So that's amazing. I love the information. Trust, respect, admiration, loyalty, and being ourselves too, because, you know, people talk about being authentic, so I think that's really important. So I love the messaging, and then change, yeah, because people can either run from it or embrace it. And we've been talking about face everything and rise, or forget everything and run, which is fear. And making a choice to face everything and rise and not let circumstances control our future and our destiny. So I'm really excited. So everybody on the call and listening to this in the future, Chris is our business keynote. He will be sharing on September 29th. And I believe his session is in the afternoon. And so he'll have a nice long session. There'll be a Q&A time afterwards for people who want to, you know, provide feedback or ask questions. And you can, of course, find him online, Chris Widener, and it's WIDENER.com. And so I encourage you to go check him out, check out his background and so forth. Very impressive. And just you're very knowledgeable, but also very, very approachable and relatable. So I really appreciate that. And I thank you for being on our call. Betty, do you have anything else, anything you want to share before we forward?
No, thanks, Jenny. I appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to being with you guys in September.
And me too. So get your tickets. And so, Chris, I know you got to jump on another call in 3 minutes, so I'm going to let you go. And thank you. Thank you so much for being our guest. You bet.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's just nuggets. I don't know. I was taking a lot of notes. I hope you all were as well. You know, things you hear it, and then it's nice to hear it again and synopsized in a different way. And I'm going to encourage us, The Art of Influence, that book is available. It's been out since last year. So that might be something for conference attendees that we'll be able to get copies of that and send it out to everybody ahead of time. That'd be nice to have. So I'll talk to Chris about, you know, how to make that happen. All right. So now we're going to switch gears, and I'm going to talk about just some of the general announcements we have going on. So we talked about conference. Again, I want to share that is a virtual conference. The website is IAHSP, virtualconexpo.com. That's our website. And you'll find speakers that are on there that have been confirmed and their topics and so forth and our agenda, which we're still kind of tweaking a little bit. And it's not going to be like a typical, like a Zoom call or anything like that. We're going to be producing this in conjunction with Joseph Hecker, he's done a lot of the media and so forth. Very interactive, you know, high energy. We can't see you in person, but we definitely want to make it an impact as far as an event where you feel uplifted and you feel the energy coming through, and that comes with a lot of the production and the graphics and the things we're going to throw in there. So we've got a full lineup of speakers. The first day is business and mindset strategies. The second day, we have Johnny Fowler kicking it off with marketing. He's got a two-hour session, marketing and social media, and he was our guest on the call a few months ago. And just every time I listen to that guy, he's so knowledgeable about the little nuances and inner workings of Facebook and LinkedIn and how to kind of bypass the system and, you know, make things work, because Facebook keeps changing their algorithms and what they're going to allow people to see. And so he does a lot of advertising for his mortgage business on there. And then as a result, he travels around and he teaches the social media aspect of it to people who want to learn. So he's going to be kicking off the 30th, which is Wednesday morning. And then we have all of our breakout sessions and so forth by business level, by how many years in the business you'll have breakout sessions. All the sessions will be recorded. So even if you don't qualify to be in a certain session, it doesn't mean you can't listen to it afterwards. So I also know, my whole goal was like maybe we'll do half day, like from 9 to 1, and then there's still so much content. We're actually going to go until 4 p.m., 4:15 every day. So I know being at home, trapped at a computer, that's, realistically, I'm not sure that all of you are going to sit there at your screen. So there'll be mobile versions available as far as streaming. And then, of course, as I said, everything will be recorded so you can watch it on your own time when you're available. So, and then October 1st will be our designation. So we've got the Cultural Diversity Expert, IHOS CDE, so it's easy to remember because it's alphabetical. That just worked out that way. And so Ravi Hooti Singh, he was also a guest. He was a guest on my show. I haven't had him on the call yet. But he is what he calls a cultural catalyst. And he first entered the world of, performance and stuff with Hanson, the band. Some of you may remember Hanson. And he was the drummer, I believe, or guitarist. So he's a musician, but then he is also from the family. His relatives are Indira Gandhi and from India. So they were like the first family of India, the democratic world and so forth. And he is cousins with them. And so with those connections, he reinvented himself as like a cultural catalyst. And he talks about diversity and inclusivity. And this is long before Black Lives Matter with George Floyd and all the stuff that's been happening. And it just is fortuitous that this is a very timely topic for our industry and just for business in general of understanding the different cultures and, what their hot buttons are and how to work and work together and be inclusive. Even we're appreciating things that make us diverse. And the goal is not to make the world one like blob of oatmeal where there's no diversity or specialness about people, but the understanding of different cultures comes with education. And so he'll speak to that. And then we also have in that session, Kevin Tain, who will be sharing about the Asian culture. I'll touch on some feng shui as well. Deepthi Nayar, she will talk specifically about East Indian culture and also, staging and real estate related to that. And I know I'm forgetting somebody. I don't have the thing in front of me, but that's going to be a great session. So, Deborah Plowden, excuse me, Deborah, if you're on the call. Deborah Plowden will be talking about Black culture. Probably will also kind of give an update on the SIDC, which is the Staging Industry Diversity Coalition, which she's been working behind the scenes on with other industry members to really encourage the conversations that are important for us to have to understand each other and support each other. And just even if it's all we're doing is listening to what somebody might have been through that, maybe I can't relate to being discriminated against for my skin color, but I can certainly listen to the story and empathize and understand that it's a reality people go through. So whether they're Black, Latino, American Indian, East Indian, whatever it is, being judged by the color of your skin or your sexual orientation, even none of that should be taking place. So I'm really proud of her for taking that on. And so she'll be sharing in that session as well. And then that day, we also will be recognizing people who've won the awards, and this is the Staging Industry Awards, which has not been released yet for people to apply, but that's the ones we're going to recognize for best vacant, small square footage, best vacant luxury, top occupied, top team. Those are the ones that are specific awards by category. So that will be announced on Thursday, and then we'll also give the big reveal about where we're going to be going in 2021 and the theme. So lots to cover in 3 days, and again, all virtual. As far as the method of delivery, we are working on that, and so as soon as we have all that figured out, we'll be sharing how you'll be able to access everything. The conference ticket is $275 for the virtual. Non-IHS members are I should remember this. Krista can help me out. See, $275, $425, I believe. And so, and they get a year of membership in IHOS. So, spread the word. It's kind of cool to do a virtual event because you have the capability of reaching people all over the world versus people having to travel in. So there's pros and cons to a virtual, and one of the pros is that you're not limited geographically, so you can conceivably have way more people attend a virtual than you could an in-person conference. And the disadvantage, of course, is the energy that feeds off of that live audience and the things we're able to do as a production of the event in person. So I am sad that I won't be seeing people in person, and so this will be the next best thing, and we're doing our best to bring you an event that is unique. It's not just going to be like a Zoom call, and definitely interactive, informative, educational for all levels, motivational, inspirational, all of that. The Best of Home Staging, that's recognition. So that is supposed to close out tonight at midnight. So this is the recognition – for Best of Home Staging for anybody in the industry in three categories. They can be recognized in leadership, in staging excellence, and also client service excellence. So your testimonials, how you serve your clients. You can self-nominate. You can nominate somebody else. And you go to bestofhomestaging.com. Bestofhomestaging.com. You fill out a form. It takes like 3 minutes to fill it out, and it gets submitted. And so the deadline was actually last Friday, but then to the procrastinators and last-minute people who I love, of course, I extended it to tonight. So please get that in, and don't assume somebody's going to recognize somebody you think is deserving, so you don't take the time to do that. It's okay if people are nominated more than once. And so then we'll put the whole list out for the industry. Again, it's just industry recognition. It's not like you don't get a trophy, but you do get recognized. You'll get a logo, and then the list will be published publicly for people to access. So it's anybody around the world who's in staging can be recognized as best of home staging in those categories. So just make sure to get that turned in. I think that's all I have for the announcements. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Betty.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Appreciate it. Chris, are you on? Chris Stedman.
Hi, Betty. Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm really excited to hear a little bit about you. So would you tell us a little bit about your background and who
sure.
you're with?
Okay, so I my name is Chris Stedman. I do e-commerce consulting, and I work with Lloyd Flanders. I handle all their e-commerce and know about your company and organization, so I reached out and had a great meeting with Krista, and then from there we started working with your company, and I appreciate that you and Jenny allow us to have this time today.
Great. Well, tell us about your company and how we're going to be working with you.
Sure. So Lloyd Flanders, we're a leading manufacturer of all-weather wicker furniture. We have different styles. So we have plantation style, more traditional, and they also have modern styles. So currently we have over 23 collections, and depending on the type of product, we have two different types of wicker furniture. So we have our own Lloyd Loom, which is proprietary to us, which is actually machine-woven material, which is actually paper that's then tightly twisted, and then it's reinforced down the middle with aluminum stake. And then that also then has to it added durian polyester coating for outdoor durability and flexibility. And then our weave allows it to avoid any cracking and burring, and it also increases the visual appeal of it. And then all that is 100% made in Menominee, Michigan. So the frame, the finish slash, and then the pillows and also the cushions. And then we have a group of product that comes, the frame comes from China, and that is a vinyl, and that is specific to one color. And then we make the cushions and then also make the pillows here in the United States. So for the loom, there's actually 20 different finishes and 140-ish fabrics in our standard book, and then we also carry six other books as well.
Well, that is great. Now, how can we find you? Where will we go to?
On your website. So we're a platinum sponsor for this year. Once you log on and the vendor directly, you can find us the second row down, and then from there we're offering. Based upon filling out the form, we're offering a factor of 0.405 times our MSRP. So that's how your members get the discount or the break, so to speak, on the pricing.
Great. And Krista, I'm assuming all of that's going to be put out to us, or it's already on the website?
It's
yes.
on the site.
It's all right.
Yeah,
it's on the website.
It's on our directory, and you can look for Lloyd Flanders when you log in, go to the vendor directory, and then you'll see his big button, and then when you click it, it literally gives you all the detail, all his marketing, and he has added custom sheets and pages in there for you to review, and the pricing and everything. It's all laid out well for him.
And if anyone has a question, they can always email me or call me. My email is listed. I'm located in Las Vegas, Nevada, so I work later in the day for the East Coast people as well. The one thing that sets us a little bit apart is our product is more, it's more of an investment type piece, so it's not the typical product you would see at, you know, at a Target or Walmart or Costco or any store like that. So once you purchase our product, that's product that you will have for decades. We've been in 5 U.S. White House administrations as a brand, and one thing that's unique to our product as well is for the Loom product, say you have it for a couple years and you just wanted to change the color, all you would need to do is take it to a local car dealership and they can change the paint color because based upon our material. So that's something that is unique to us as well.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And everything's custom made right now because of COVID. So we were, you know, being in Michigan, we were closed for 2 months. So we couldn't do any work at all. We were accepting orders, but we just couldn't produce them. So our standard delivery time for custom-made product is 12 to 15 business days. But right now, because of COVID, it's adding a week to it. But based on the industry standards, we're still easily 4 weeks to 6 weeks quicker than anyone else out there as a company.
That's wonderful.
And then your price points? You have a ton of different products, and on the site looking.
Yes.
So what are your price points? Because you're going to have some people that need stuff that's, you know, more modest price, and then some that's more higher end. And I'm looking at your pictures. You obviously represent both ends of the spectrum.
It's correct. It depends on what they're looking for. Again, because of the pricing that we give, that it helps them buy something literally 50-some percent less than if they saw it online. So using online as an example, or if you go to Wayfair, and since we have a severe MAP policy, whatever they would see on there, then that would be the MAP. So our MAP policy is 25% below the MSRP. So it won't be 0.405 times what they see online because everyone sells a product at MAP. But based on the catalog, it's when they get the catalog and look at the price list, the example, I'll run one quick one for you. So for the Hamptons, which is more of our traditional, for a – let me pull it up real quick. For a swivel lounge rocker chair, for the A-grade fabric, so there's an A-grade, B-grade, C-grade, and a D-grade. So for A-grade self-welt swivel walker chair, that's normally $2,441, but they get to pay for that. Excuse me.
Look at this.
That spreadsheet that you see income, everyone? That's on the vendor website.
Yeah, so that'd be $988 that they would pay.
Wow.
So you can see it's quite a difference from the actual retail. The example of a cushion, the sofa for the Hamptons, that is 0.405 times the sofa is a $5,028 retail. That cost will be $2,036 versus the $5,028. So you can see right there is a $3,000 savings.
And so the catalog is on here, and then Chris has just shared that the price list is also, you can download the price list, you can download the catalog,
yes,
the quick ship program info,
yes,
and then download the form for ready when you're ready.
Real quick on a quick ship, so that ended on June 19th, and then we did extend it, but then because of COVID, I mean, right now our factory is actually open 6 days a week, and we're working 2 shifts just to keep up with everything. So they paused the quick ship. I'm asking for them to try and see if they can bring it back maybe sometime in September, October, because that's when sales, you know, die down a little bit, especially for some parts of the country. So once that happens, I'm actually going to email Brista just to remove that, and then that way it won't be confusing to people.
We were not listening how to get the camera. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Ms. Menominee.
I just want you to know that I was just in Menominee, Michigan last week.
Oh, okay.
And I grew up there my whole life and drive by there all the time. And I even had some relatives that worked at Lloyd Flanders for all the years. So I was just stopped in there, but it looked like there was no action. So now you're telling me it was closed down.
Right. From May, March 17th to May 17th, they did not allow us to work.
Right. So, yes, it's a great
Next
company.
Time, yes, it is a fantastic company. It's a very family-oriented company. When I first started working with them, the owners, Don and Dolie Flanders, purchased the company in 1982, and, they just are very warm and old traditional values as a company, which I appreciate.
Well, it's awesome.
Does
so, and their collections are
questions?
Really vast. So,
yes.
Go log into IHOS with your profile. If you all have created your profiles, because we've been teaching you to do that, and then you'll be able to download the information or just, it's a PDF catalog, and their selections under the collections, each collection is vast. And so, being able to have something that's going to last, because we've all bought that cheap crap, outdoor stuff that doesn't even last a season.
Yeah.
So being able to have something that's better made, make an investment, and then it pays for itself when it's a client is using it, or you're doing like a staging to live. It's beautiful, the pieces.
And the other thing you can do also, so in our main book, or if you look in the catalog, there is, again, one Lloyd Flanders swatch book. So that's, again, is about 140 fabrics. So our fiscal year ends June 30th, and we change our fabrics, update them every 2 years. So we just updated our fabric book, and we just updated our website, actually, on Friday. So I don't have all the information to give out yet to get to Krista, but I will get that to her so it can get uploaded. And then so we'll have some new fabrics, about 60-ish or so new fabrics. And then for collections, we actually have three new loom collections and one collection that's for vinyl, but it's more of like a textiline, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's called Elevation. So we have three really cool, unique loom collections, and then Elevation.
That's wonderful.
Does anyone have any questions that I can answer for them?
Your email is on the website. Yeah, your email's on the website. So if you have questions, you can you hover over his name and it highlights. You can email him directly from there from the site, which is really great. Do you want to thank you for your support?
Number on there as well. Okay.
That's great.
And thank you very much for all your time and efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for being a sponsor.
Have a great
Thanks,
week.
Chris.
All
thank
right,
you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Barb, are you still on?
Absolutely. Great call.
Okay, well, share, please, with us what you'd like to talk to us about tonight.
Well, it's a joy to be with everybody again. And, I've been looking at certain words, and I've made a list, and I would love to have you write down the word, and then I'm going to share just really quick thoughts about it. Perhaps from a different view. So much is happening right now, as we know, around the world and especially in the United States, too. And, there are areas that are opening, stores, and there are those that are going back the other direction to close things down, and different views and different, ways of hoping and working and striving to work with this virus and to bring it, to a final conclusion. And, of course, we're all holding breath, perhaps. Those aren't the words, but for, the shot that will hopefully help everyone when they come up with the vaccine for it. So as I was thinking about that and listening to a couple of things on television the other night real quickly, I started writing down words that came to me. And the first one that I would encourage you to write down is the word courage. In courage, it's cartwheeling. Some of you are cheerleaders, and I always wanted to be one, but I did my cheering in a different way. So So in cartwheeling past our comfort zones, because those tend to hold us back. And what I'd like us to think about is doing something just a little bit scary every single day. Now, I'm not talking about jumping off the bridge. I'm talking about something that just nudges a comfort zone that your inner intelligence is telling you, and it's been calling to you, that moving in that direction could really help you make a big leap. And so when I think about courage, it's looking at those comfort zones and then looking at something a little bit scary every day. And it could be really small. Just one step can make a huge difference for all of us in what we're doing. The next word is the word time. And time is going so fast, I'm sure, for you, and I know it is for me and all of us. And it seems to be that the kids are saying the same thing. So, you know, my mother and grandmother always said, the older you get, the faster it goes. Well, the kids now are saying the same thing. It's so fast. It's so fast. It goes so fast. I can't believe that it's going to be August. And there's so much they're doing before the pandemic, during, and will be in the future. And so as we think about time, I love the word pendulum because that's a lot of what each of us do. The pendulum swings. We swing the pendulum. We may be holding on tight. We may be stepping back and don't want to participate in any changes of the swing of the pendulum. But what I'm sensing and what I really feel I'm hearing, and my inner intelligence is telling me, this is a great time right now. And I know some of us have already done this. I think it's really good to do it again. What better time than all of the things that are happening around the planet? And that is, it's time for the pendulum of trend to really swing back to the basics. You know, the basics never go away. And they shouldn't go away. And we really want to be skilled in those basics. And sometimes the very thing that got you where you are right now, you forgot that you did. I had that happen to me too. And I say, wait a minute, why did I stop that? And it's time for me to look at my pendulum again and to really trend back, which I like to put it that way, swing back to the basics. The next one is friends. Now, friends who feel like family are the very best kinds of friends, and that nothing matters more than family. And I really pray, hope, and believe that all of us really feel that, because if there's ever a time, and as there is a time right now, it's such a time to, you know, re-look, review, revalue. I was thinking, I wanted to ask you to look at making a foundation of what you and your family really believe in at this time. Maybe it's just like four sentences, but what carries you forward, even in the midst of everything that's going on? And change to me is a way of life. And moving with that and using that to one's real advantage to help others and to help ourselves. And I think that would be good, I feel, for us, my family, and for every family, should they choose to do that, to really look at coming up with the words that are almost like a mission statement of what the family or your family of friends, whomever, maybe there's just two of you or four, it's not just, you are powerful and magnificent, whether two, four, or a thousand. So friends, and staying close with them, and talking with them, and just letting them know in one sentence that you text them, they're on your mind. Now, you know how I feel about failure, that there really isn't any failure, and I helped a gal the other day who lives in Germany that wanted to talk to me. She's in college. And her mother had suggested that she call me or set up the time. And I kept hearing her talk about failure. She fails all the time. She feels she's not making the cut, blah, et cetera, et cetera. And when I asked her what failure really meant to her, this whole litany of words came out that were so depressive and so negative. And it was my joy to share with her that there really isn't any. Our life is a series of lessons. There are all kinds of lessons, great lessons, happy lessons, ones that aren't so happy. And the key is that we see those are moving us forward. And there is an important part of our journey, your journey, my journey, as well as the successes that we feel that we have. So as I share a couple more words, and then I want to read you something that I quickly wrote, or it's quick, but it's I put quite a bit of time in it. And that would be beauty as far as a couple more words. When you think about beauty, what is beauty to you? And the beauty that I'd like you to write down is subtle beauty, because that kind of beauty in you, in me, does not deteriorate ever with age or wear. There can be a woman that you see that is the most beautiful woman you've ever met. She's 102 years old. Or you meet a 20-year-old that seems like she's 40 when she shares her views and the innate wisdom that she seems to have with her. So subtle beauty doesn't just mean whether, you know, we have scars on our face, arm, or our hair isn't doing well, or whatever. It's the kind that doesn't deteriorate. And that's the beauty I see in you, no matter your age and no matter where you are in your life, and also in our stagings. It's a beauty that continues, and it grows the more that we stage. And then heroic pursuits. Those are the last two words for this. Heroic pursuits. They could be large, or they could be really small. And what I'd like us to focus on is there will never be any greater as far as a heroic pursuit than your life well-loved. Well-lived is what we're used to. I'd like to say well-loved. I wrote this poem, and I'm going to put it on my Facebook page soon, and I hope you enjoy it. It's like prose more than a poem. I titled it Living Life, and this comes from my heart to yours. As I sat, I love it when this happens, and this happens for you, not just me, for all of us, when we get and take some time to pause. We may be so busy, productive, that we don't take enough time for ourselves to pause and just feel and do nothing other than feel and let the thoughts come through. I encourage you to do that every day, even for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and you're worth it. Should we not be able to take 5 minutes for ourselves? What the heck are we doing? There's wisdom yearning to come out of you, wanting to come out of you, and seeing things perhaps in a new light. So here's mine, living life. The longer I'm here on earth, the more I see that life can be really easy or really hard. It's up to each of us with our attitudes and our actions, how we perceive and how we choose it to be. People make the choice to change only when they are ready. And they make the choice to learn in the same way. You, me, everyone around the world. Nothing stays the same. Everything keeps evolving, always and forever. So I ask us to live like there is no tomorrow. And remember that every single day. Follow your heart and listen to your inner voice, as it will lead you to where you are to be. Choose to love. Choose to forgive. Choose to release fear. because love solves all. God gave you the power to do all this and much more right on the inside of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Well, that was really great. And I, as before, actually, well, Chris started sharing, I was writing down, because he talked about lessons he learned from Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar, and I was reading his bio wrong. There's a couple of commas in there. I didn't get that right as far as the protege. So he was Jim Rohn's protege, who was also, I guess, Tony Robbins was connected to Jim Rohn. So, but I started writing down, I said, things I've learned from Barb, because Barb is a world-renowned speaker as well in our industry, in the real estate industry. And so before you even started sharing, I wrote down every word matters. And these are things that, you know, that I've learned from you. Every word matters. And communication is at the heart of all we do, as in staging, in communication, and in business. From getting the business to the actual staging, because staging is a communication tool, which those have gone through the course, you know that. We teach that. So you're communicating even with your staging. Then I wrote down, enjoy the journey and have fun. Because the times that, you know, we've been out, I'll never forget, like shopping in Target or something, and there was like, you had like this entourage. There was me and Betty and several other people, and you're trying clothes on, and this member, this woman came up, and she said, are you part of a club? And and remember that?
I remember
and
that.
She said, I want to join, because we were just having fun, being silly, you know? Join the club. And then, the saying that one of more recent sayings that is in the Master's Course, which I'm teaching this week, it is as important to release the future as it is the past, and to be present in the now. And you have certainly taught that over and over again, to be, you know, live in the now, because we're not guaranteed anything in the future. We can't live in the past. All we have is now, as far as the impact we're going to make in our lives, and other people's lives, with our friends, family, our clients, and whatever, you know, whoever else we come across, it's to be present now and not to be thinking so much in the future that you forget to enjoy the moment. So I just want to thank you for, I mean, those are just four quick ones that came to me. I know there's probably dozens more that I and others could come up with, but it's something that's really, you know, interesting that you chose to focus on words for your inspiration, because you've always taught us that words matter and communication is at the heart of everything that we do. So thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you, Jenny, so much. It means a lot to me what you just shared. Thanks so much. And I love you, and I love each of you. And it's just a joy to be with you. I look forward to it so much. Gosh, the days and years and time is flying right by, and I think of each of you way more than you know that I do. And I always want to just kind of send a little airplane or a big one out and just grab you all and bring you home. One evening. Yeah. We will.
Yeah. We'll be seeing each other sooner than we believe, and I just hope that that Chris talked about change and embracing change, and certainly we've all done that with our businesses, and I'm hoping that we can get back to the one piece of normal that I want to get back to, is to be able to just see everybody in person and laugh and hug and embrace. That's super important. So I'm looking forward to that day. It's going to be a true celebration. We don't have a call next month because it's August, which traditionally we take that month off, and then September is Worldwide Staging Service Week. So I know a lot of our chapters will be working on their projects and the wonderful stories that will come out of that. I just want to remind those of you that are working on those to please, please take really good before and after pictures and videos, because we'd like to be able to put the montage together, and then make sure to send those to me or upload them to the G Drive. You all have access to folders on the G Drive for your projects. And so proud to see everything that's coming together. I know that Patricia Ponza in Europe has been posting what they're doing in Italy and other places. And so make sure to share your projects on the IHOSP page, the group and the page, so the public can see it and the members can see it on the private side. So that'll be in September. So the next time that we'll be talking will be after the conference, actually, which is going to be end of September. So it'll be October, looks like the 19th. That'll be our next call. So Worldwide Staging Service Week is happening in September. We have our conference the 29th, 30th, and October 1st. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then, of course, August, enjoy your hot August nights, and maybe get a little break, go somewhere. If not, staycation at home and just communicate on Facebook and emails and phone calls and just stay in touch with each other because we need connection. So with that, I will leave you. Thank you, Betty, for setting up the call. Greatly appreciated and appreciate you.
And Jenny, I just want you to know that I have been thanking Barb for all that she said and, you know, thanking other people, not realizing that I was on mute. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I was talking, so it's okay. Now, yeah, so go ahead and say, yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, so I'm here.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in, for joining us. The call will be on the IHOSP members site. You can log in and listen to all the past calls there. And then, again, our next call will be October 19th. So until then, enjoy the rest of your summer, and let's just hopefully keep praying we get back to some semblance of normal. And just keep protecting yourselves, doing what you need to do to stay safe. And your families, too. So thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Stay safe and well.
Bye, everyone.
Love you.